Today we are going to look at the last part of chapter 5, verses 12 through 28. Last week we studied how Paul expected Christians to be sober, be ready, and wear the armor of God. We don't know when Jesus will return, but he will someday. And he expects you and I to be ready for that event. This morning, in my heart. This morning we are going to look at what Paul, Timothy, and Silas expects each and every one of us to conduct our lives here on this earth. So the first thought he's going to share with the saints at Thessalonica are their behavior towards leaders of the church. And the second point he's going to look at is their behavior towards their church family. Another area that we all should be focused on is our behavior towards God. How we as Christians develop a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We're going to see the results of living a Christ-like life. And then the final word on behavior. With that, how you show your appreciation to those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. That's a mouthful. But how do we do that? Can I get someone to read verses 12 and 13, please, of chapter 5.
Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who worked hard among you, who cared for you in the Lord, and who admonished you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their word.
Thank you very much, Vicki. So how do we do that? How do you show these people who are teaching you, these people who are laboring among you, what do?
We could say thank you.
Say thank you.
But our actions could show that we are listening to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So
make sure our actions speak for ourselves. Anybody else?
Just being involved in classes and attending.
Mm-hmm. Participate. And don't take my word for it, what I'm saying up here. Go home and look at it yourself. Study it so that you can see not only myself, but others who are in this pulpit teaching, say what's in God's word. What does the Bible say we should do? We have instructions about that.
Give double honor to those who got.
Give them a double honor who teach and have the oversight over you. What else we know? Here's one. Pray for them. Keep them in your prayers. Timothy says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
First of all, then, I urge the entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity.
Thank you, Rodney. So, in Timothy, we see that offer up your prayers, your petitions, and thanksgivings. What a lot of people have said on behalf of all men, but especially those who have the authority over you. What else should we do?
Respect them.
Follow them in a way that doesn't bring them grief or heartache. This is what the writer of Hebrews says in the 13th chapter, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So we see that the Holy Spirit had directed the writer of the Hebrew letter to encourage Christians to obey their leaders, submit to their authority, because they have watch over your souls, and they will give an account to God. So let's not do it with attitude that will cause them some heartache or grief, but an attitude of joy. Because when you do that, if you have that attitude of causing them some heartache, it will be unprofitable to you. As was mentioned, we should express words of affirmation and to esteem them very highly, to acknowledge, appreciate, and respect them. And finally, Paul says, live in peace with one another. And that's a commandment that all Christians should be doing. Being at peace with all people. Can I get someone to read Romans chapter 12, verse 18, please?
If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men.
Thank you very much, Diane. That's what is expected as our responsibility as Christians to be in peace, not only with our leaders, but also all men. We see that God had set up the organization of the church by God being the supreme being. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And what he did, he gave us his son as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And he put Jesus as the head of the church. And he has all authority. All authority was given to him. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. And through the Holy Spirit, he passed that authority to the apostles. He delegated that authority to the apostles to go out and teach and preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection to the inhabitants. And we have that in the New Testament today. The apostles are no longer here. So when in the first century, we noticed that Paul had sent his helpers, Timothy and Titus, to go to different churches and to make sure they those churches have elders. And one day the apostles knew they would be gone. They would be returning to God in heaven. And now the elders were in charge of making sure the church was growing, making sure each member was receiving the information necessary to live a godly life. And under the elders, the evangelist, the preacher works for them, the deacons, and also the members. They all have input that they share with the elders, but the final decision making is with the elders. And that's how God set up his church. So in what ways does practicing gratitude and thankfulness transform our everyday life as Christians? Can I get someone to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, please?
We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone.
Thank you. So, in what ways, as we practice gratitude and thanksgiving, transform our everyday life with the Christian? Gandhi.
Well, I always think about this. If I am practicing gratitude and appreciation to my elders, to the preacher for the work that the preacher does, to my family here who's sitting in the pews, if I practice that, that establishes a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just me standing back here in the corner going, man, I really appreciate these people. That's me having conversations with members of the church and letting them know how I feel about them, you know, expressing those types of things. But if I have that relationship, that friendly, happy relationship, then when I disagree with something that is happening, or we saw the word admonish, I see something that's wrong, then it's easier for me to sit down and talk with that person. If I have a relationship with the elders to where I support them and I work with them, then when the elders get together and come up with an idea that I think is silly, I will have enough of a relationship to go to them and say, man, I just don't agree with this. I support you, but I don't agree with it. But you know that I appreciate you, so you don't take offense.
Exactly.
If I'm always butting up against you, when you see me coming, no matter how devout you are, if you're going to roll your eyes and go, oh, here we go again. You know, so we have to establish that positive relationship before we can ever get to comfortably admonishing.
Exactly. Another thing we look at is the relationships we build with our brothers and sisters strengthens us as Christians so that we can grow in God's service, and we can give him the glory. That's why we're here. We're not here to socialize. We're here to admonish one another, to encourage one another, to build us each other up. And the elders have an important job to make sure that they provide the necessary tools and instructions to achieve that in our Christian walk of life. We mentioned admonish there on the movie. Admonish is like a rebuke, but not as strong. It's a way to get your point across. And Christians are to admonish those whose behavior is not in accordance with the word of God. That's our responsibility as Christians, not only towards the elders, but towards our brothers and sisters. Paul goes on to say to encourage the faint hearted. That's not only the job of the elders, it's the job of each and every one of us. Christians ought to endeavor to encourage others as part of their routine in their communication with others. Again, how does God communicate to you and I? Through His Word. We read that, we reflect on that, we study His Word, we meditate on those words, and we put them in action. So God's communicating to us through His Word, and we should be communicating to our brothers and sisters so that we can encourage them. Help the weak. Christians are to help those who are struggling both physically and spiritually. That's our responsibility towards our brothers and sisters. Just look at Jesus when He was here on this earth. He reached out to everyone. He wasn't selective. He didn't go to a certain group of people. He displayed love to all. And that's what we should be doing in our lives. And be patient with everyone. I struggle with this a lot, patience. I expect everyone to do things the way I want to do, but you can't expect that. So I have to work on that in my life. God is patient with us. Just look at the Old Testament and how He was very patient with the children of Israel. He gave them every opportunity to repent. Even when Jesus died on the cross, Paul had shared with his brethren, those who were Jewish background, he said in the Roman letter, "I would give my life so that you could be saved," if that was the case. So he had a love for the brethren. And Christians ought to pray to God for their strength in this area. They are to show genuine patience from the heart. Are we doing that today? Are we focused on self, or are we focused on serving our brothers and sisters in Christ and also people in the world? So how do we react when others are unkind to us? And how should we react? And how can we take control of our reactions? Can I get someone to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15, please?
Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to do what is good for each other and for everyone else.
Thank you, Vicki. So we see that Paul has shared with the saints of Thessalonica, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, and as Vicki's translation said, wrong for wrong. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. So what is our reaction to those who are unkind to us? As human beings, what do we want to do?
Be unkind back.
Right? But we want to be unkind back and strike them harder. Let them know we're superior. That's our attitude as a human being. But what does Jesus tell us?
Forget.
He says we shouldn't repay another with evil with evil. And what does God require Christians to do?
Forgive. Turn the other cheek.
Forgive. Turn the other cheek. What else?
Forgive.
Forgive.
Love.
Love.
Pray.
Love their enemies.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Love their enemies.
Love your enemies. So in every situation, Christians should be seeking the good and not focusing on the negative. As we do that in life. But yet, we should be seeking the good for others. That's difficult. And it's up to you and I to work on that. Look what Jesus did when he went to the cross. Can I get someone to read Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, please?
But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves.
Thank you, Bae. So we see that even when the soldiers were going to beat him, Jesus was praying to God and said, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they're doing. That was his attitude towards those who were trying to hurt him. And what does Peter say about returning evil for evil? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit blessing.
Thank you very much, Dave. So we see, don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but give him blessing instead. So you were called for that so that you may inherit a blessing. I always go back to a scene where Jesus was with his disciples and he took a lower position to wash their feet. He served them and he was teaching them that's what they should be doing. Serve others. And that's a lesson for you and I. We should be serving others. Putting others ahead of ourselves. And it's important as we grow as a child of God that we do that. We put into action, put into practice, serving and loving others. So what does it mean to pray without ceasing? And we have two verses here. Verse 16, rejoice always. And verse 17, pray without ceasing. What does that mean to you?
Ceasing means to end. And so without, we can never stop praying because that's how we communicate with God.
Pray always, yeah. And how do we do that on a regular day-to-day basis?
Practice,
yeah. That's how we make it part of our lifestyle as Christians. We should be praying for all people. Even when we're working, we should be praying. We should dedicate our lives to a life of prayer. That is a major part of our Christian walk, is prayer. How many of us strive for prayer all the time? And that's what God expects from his children, to pray. Carol.
Yeah. And it's not always in the form of a organized prayer. I mean, when somebody goes past you and you might have the instinct to be upset because they cut in front of you, you had to break, so forth and so on. But if you're thinking about other people, you might say a prayer that I hope he gets where he's going.
You know, it's not, I hope that there's a cop up around the corner that's going to catch him. Unless, of course, that means that he doesn't cause an accident. But there are times when I hear the sirens go past. They do it a lot here on Coburg Road. It's like, I pray for the safety of those people who are responding. You know, no, so it's just little things that you're involved in everything else in the world.
We are part of this world, and we are a light in this world, and we should share that by the way we go to God through prayer. That's the way we communicate to our Heavenly Father, and we should make prayer a priority in our Christian life. God wants Christians to rejoice, and we could spend a long time on this particular subject. We see that in John 15 and verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be manifold. That's Jesus talking. He was talking to his disciples to make sure that they receive the joy and not focus on the negative all the time. What does Paul say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4? And we just studied that several months ago. Exactly.
In the Lord, again, I will say rejoice.
Very good, Irene. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's an encouragement to all Christians to be joyous. Not focus on the negativity in this world, and there's a lot of it that could draw us away from being joyful. But it's up to you and I to continue to be joyous. And about prayer, in everything give thanks. Pray with a thankful heart. Can I get someone to read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, please?
Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father.
Thank you, Diane. Always giving thanks for all things. We should be grateful. Even the very air we breathe comes from God. It's a gift that God has given us. And we should be very thankful for that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Again, we use the avenue of prayer to communicate to our Heavenly Father. So how might understanding God's will for us change the way we approach our daily challenges? Can I get someone to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 18 through 22.
In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil.
Thank you. So how does these things change us the way we approach our daily challenges in life?
By focusing on God and all of his words and internalizing them, then it will help us to abstain from every form of evil. And if evil's not in your life, then you have a happy and joyous life here on earth as well as a reward in heaven.
Mm-hmm. So our relationship with God is established by the way we communicate to Him. And we do that in prayer. Pray to God. We go to God and ask Him a lot of things. And He knows what's good for you and I. He will give material things to us as we have need. Not as we want, but yet as we have the need. And he knows what our needs are. We should also listen to the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized into the body of Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. And He's with us. We should listen to what He has to say. He guides us through our lives and makes sure that we make the right choices. And we have a free will to make those choices. But listen to what God says. We should put God's words in action. And how do we do that?
By living what He tells us to do. Living for God.
Exactly. Living for God. And we find His instructions. Guess where we find them? And put those things into action. Another thing, we should examine everything for ourselves. Don't take the word of a preacher. Look at his message is, and look at the Bible. Compare what he's saying to God's word. Do that on your own, so that you can be approved of God. We should always seek out the good. I know it's hard at times. I know it's difficult in this world. But yet, we as Christians should be always looking at the good in everything. Have that attitude of everything came from God. It's good. And don't focus on the negativity of the world. And that's the last attitude or mindset a Christian should have, is to abstain from everything that is evil. Stay away from that. Satan will use what he can to pull Christians away from God. And it's up to Christians, first of all, to communicate to God for assistance through prayer and make sure that their life is free from evil. Now, the last question I have brought up in this next set of verses, I just picked out one about greeting all. What is Paul exhorts the Thessalonians to greet all brethren in a holy kiss. But if we were to read this particular section, there's a lot more to it than what I had brought up as a question. So can I get someone to read verses 23 through 28, please?
Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Thank you very much, Kristen. So he starts off with a supplication to the saints at Thessalonica, where he says, the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Then he goes on to say that your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord. Again, in chapter 5, he reminds us that the Lord is going to return someday. And today, you and I are that much closer to that point when he returns. But your spirit and your soul, your components of your inner being, make sure they are preserved. And your body that we have as a shell here on this earth, make sure you preserve that by staying away from sin. And God is faithful and he will reward you. Paul goes on to say further in this closing of his letter, he asks the prayers of the brethren. Again, something that we as Christians should be mindful of, to pray for others. And that's what he wants the saints at Thessalonica to do for Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and Luke, to make sure that they pray for them and they're successful in presenting the gospel to others. And then he says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. What does that mean?
I said respect, love, friendship, kindness.
Kindness, yeah. And how do we do that when we come up to a brother or sister in Christ? Well, this is a cultural thing about the way they greet. I know I experienced it when I went to Switzerland. Someone gave me a hug. I didn't know that individual from anything. First time I met them. But this is how they greet people in some cultures. And it shows the appropriate affection and politeness when greeting brothers and sisters in Christ. The universal principle is to greet other believers warmly, which in our case could be a warm handshake with a friendly verbal greeting. But greet your brothers and sisters. Show them, acknowledge them when they come into an assembly or your home, but greet them warmly and friendly. And that's what the point is, Paul is getting at. And then he goes on to finish this particular letter by saying, make sure the brethren, all the brethren, read this. Not only a few people, but all the brethren. And finally, he concludes by saying, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Next week, we're going to just jump into the second letter. And I do have some worksheets on the back podium for you to pick up after services so that we can see how Paul continues instructing the saints of Thessalonica. We know there was a problem because they were waiting for the return of the Lord. And a lot of people decide, well, if Jesus is going to return again, I'll just wait for him. I don't have to work. I'll just be here and be ready. But that's not what is expected of Christians. Christians are supposed to be prepared, be sober, be alert, and wear the spiritual woman of God. Yes, girl.
I think about the admonishment that Nathan gave to King David. It, the story couched what David had done so that David saw the problem without having it pointed at him. Unfortunately, it doesn't matter how much love we have in our lives. When somebody points out something that we're doing wrong, it's like somebody gives you a bucket of cold water. It's a shock to the system. And when I read this verse, verse 14, we urge you, brethren, to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with all men. If you think about that, that all applies to the unruly person that you just admonished, and it needs to be applied to them so that they can get where they need to be, because the shock of something that they weren't aware of that they were doing can lead them to go the wrong direction.
And sure, and it's our responsibility to help them along. Thank you very much for your comments and your reading. So.